This is at L6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, with the official broadcast for August 2014. Tonight, presidential comment, headquarters news, and Otago Branch 30 has plans well in hand to celebrate the 90th anniversary of the first ever round-the-world two-way radio contact. Good evening, everyone. Presenting the official broadcast, I'm Jim Meachins at L2BHF. In Nelson. Presidential news leads tonight's broadcast. Here's NZRT President Vaughan Henderson, ZL1VH. Vaughan.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. Tonight I have great pleasure in confirming the venue for our 2015 Annual General Meeting and Conference. The Hamilton Amateur Radio Club, Branch 12, have confirmed that they are going to host our 2015 conference, and the venue will be the Hamilton Racecourse. On behalf of you all, I'd like to thank Branch 12 very much for taking on the organisation of our conference at quite short notice. Hamilton is a very central location, at least for those of you in the North Island, and has regular flights to other parts of New Zealand. So I hope you will take advantage of this next Queen's Birthday weekend. My apologies to those branches who want to take advantage of our recently announced public liability insurance cover. I've been away overseas for parts of July and August, and this has delayed my work on getting a plain English explanation of what the policy will cover out to you all. Please be assured it is coming. Sadly, we continue to lose members through old age and illness. Two notable members of the VHF-UHF fraternity recently became silent keys. The first of these was Vern Lills at L2TMI, who passed away after a long period of ill health on the 12th of July. Vern was the principal designer of the Wellington Walkie 2-metre handheld. Some of you may still have one in your collection. On Saturday the 23rd of August, Ted Barnes at L2IP became a silent key after a short illness. Ted had many, many years involvement with all things to do with our VHF, UHF and microwave bands, and helped countless other ZL amateurs with his expert knowledge and very practical advice. Ted will be greatly missed. We're still looking for a permanent editor for our bi-monthly magazine, Break-In. Thanks to Stephen Heyman, ZL1TPH, the magazine continues to be produced, but we do need to find someone willing to be the editor on a long-term basis. If any of you are interested, please contact either myself or Debbie at headquarters as soon as possible. Jamboree on the Air, JOTA, is coming up again over the weekend of October the 18th and 19th. It's not too soon to get in touch with your local scout or guide organisation and see what you can do to help them. JOTA is an excellent opportunity to introduce amateur radio to younger people, and I hope you'll take advantage of this. Finally, thanks to my Vice President, Stuart, ZL2TW, for standing in for me last month. I was away overseas, and Stuart very ably provided the From the President segment of the official broadcast. That's it from me. Thanks for listening, and back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Vaughan, the President of NZART, Vaughan Henderson, ZL1VH. To Upper Hutt we head now to NZART headquarters, and it's a very good evening to NZART Business Manager Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. A bit of housekeeping this month. There seems to be some confusion regarding the amount of rebate for your annual subscription. Transmitting and non-transmitting, plus family subscriptions, are the only categories who are eligible for the $10 rebate. Student and overseas subscriptions are not. Also, those of you paying by automatic payment are not eligible for the rebate. The annual transmitting fee is $99, less $10, payment required is $89. The fee for family membership is $129, rebated to $119 if deducting the $10. Finally, on this topic, for those of you paying by credit card and have not indicated the amount to be debited, I will assume that you wish to pay the full $99 donating the rebate to WARC 2015. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the many of you who have generously donated their rebate, and in some cases much more, for NZART attendance at WARC 2015. Of recent times, as many branches approach milestones in their club history, I am asked if I can research information by way of providing evidence of inaugural meetings or photos. Regrettably, as headquarters space has diminished, I am limited to how much can be stored. A considerable number of historic records was passed to Alexander Turnbull Library in 2004. Therefore, I would suggest those of you who are seeking this information that perhaps contacting them may help in your research. Lastly, I was asked if I could obtain a better copy of a photo of the Sangster Shield, which was included in the history book Hamshacks, Brass Pounders and Rag Chewers. If anyone can help with this, I would appreciate hearing from you. That's it from me this month. Jim, back to you.
Thank you, Debbie. Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL, our NZART Business Manager. A reminder tonight from Bob Macquarie, ZL3TY, of Westfest 2014. Yes, Westfest will be held next weekend, the 6th and 7th of September, at the Murchison Bowling Club in Waller Street in Murchison. For those who haven't been to Westfest, it's an informal weekend with plenty of discussion of radio and ample time to socialise. Hope to see you there. That's Westfest 2014 in Murchison next weekend. The first ever two-way radio communication between New Zealand and England was made on the 18th of October 1924 by Frank Bell of Shag Valley Station in South Island region of Otago. Frank Bell held the call sign Z4AA, and on that date, 18th October 1924, using primitive homebrew radio equipment, made contact with Cecil Goyder, G2SZ, at the Mill Hill School in London. In 1974, on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of the contact, 80-year-old Frank Bell, then ZL4AA, remembered the historic contact.
We had already got in touch with Australia and South America, and I happened to be just listening about 11 o'clock our time at night, and I heard this call from England, so full of hope, I answered the call, and strange to relate, he came back. But he didn't believe it. And he said, if you're really 4AA, which is my call, cable.
The CWQSO lasted for about 1 hour and dealt mainly with issues concerning signal quality. Again, here's Frank Bell.
We were both a bit shocked, I suppose, really. And Cecil Goyder, whom I was talking to in Mill Hill School in near London, he said he was a bit sceptical about it. He said, if you're really New Zealand 4AA cable, which we did, and from then on, pretty well every night for several nights running, we kept in touch, and other men in New Zealand joined in.
The voice of the late Frank Bell, ZL4AA, who made the historic contact back on October 18th in 1924. The 18th of October this year will be the 90th anniversary of this historic contact. Tonight's report from Martin Bolt, ZL4JH, reveals that Otago Branch 30 have the celebration arrangements well in hand.
Good evening, everybody. Well, what's this all about? Way back 90 years ago, the authorities had generously allowed the early amateurs to use the useless low-frequency band down around 92 metres or 3 megahertz. They didn't think it would go anywhere, but Cecil Goyder at Mill Hill Station in the UK and Frank Bell at Shag Valley Station just north of Dunedin on the Pig Route to Central Otago proved them all wrong around 6:30pm on the 18th of October 1924 with the first ever contact between UK and New Zealand that set countless records. If you want to read a bit more about it, you could try Branch 30's website, www.zl4aa.org.nz. Recognise that call sign in there? Or RSGB's on gb2nz.com. Or the New Zealand DX Reflectors site on zm90dx.com. There's some very good articles written there and photos of the original systems and the aerials. The 1964 conference was in Dunedin, and to mark the event, which coincided with the 40th anniversary of that contact, a special cairn was constructed, installed and unveiled at the entrance to Shag Valley Station. And now we move on to the 90th. And why the 90th instead of the 100th? Well, the common answer I've got to that one is some of us want to really be part of this, but we're going to be too old when the 100th comes around, but you can guarantee the 100th will be a big one as well. After some prodding around August last year, Branch 30 Committee started some frantic arrangements to offer on 80 metres for the day, until someone checked the maths and found we were a year early. The minutes of the next committee meeting recorded the intention to set up a multi-band operation on Shag Valley Station, instead of back in Dunedin, and the planning has continued ever since. Two site visits have been held, working bees and planning meetings, and plans are now well advanced. An 80-metre width has been installed on Peter ZL4LV's property, matched and is under test, while the committee led by Chairman ZL4DK gather the necessary equipment for the complete operation. And just what is planned? We're putting up a vertical for 80 metres, a quad's going to be hung for the trees for 40 metres, a lattice tower's going up with the club's tri-bander for 20, 15 and 10. ZL2CC Mike Mather is arriving with 70-metre equipment. VHF and UHF crossbanders are being set up in the hills behind the station to access the national system and Dunedin 690 and IRLB node 6507, plus an STSB repeater on 6625 to guide visitors in. New Zealand SAR have generously donated the IPStar satellite linking gear for access to emails on the internet. And when's it all happening? Saturday the 4th of October, the team joins our host Johnny Bell and his family, the 6th generation Bell family on the station, and we start the big assembly on site. We'll probably be there on the Sunday as well. Then back to the site on Saturday the 11th of October to finish the installation with operating starting as facilities become available. And we'll be working right through then to the big moment on Saturday the 18th, around 18:30 hours New Zealand Standard Time, or 19:30 New Zealand Daylight Time, 06:30 UTC, because that's when the first contact was made. Everybody's welcome. And if you can't make it, listen to Jim Sullivan's Sounds Historical program on Radio New Zealand National on the Sunday evening, the 19th. He'll be recording on site as it all happens. The operating will take place from the historic shearers' quarters with the main aerials in the nearby Lucerne paddocks, but visitors will be able to visit the museum on site as well with some of the original transmitting and receiving equipment. It's quite fascinating, that museum. It shows that the Bell family back there were involved in a lot more than just radio, all sorts of scientific work. So a really good and exciting week is expected for all.
Thank you, Martin. Martin ZL4JH, reporting for the Otago Branch 30 Organising Committee. And now it's time for Waro News. Here's Rosemary, ZL1RO.
Thanks, Jim, and hello, everyone. Waro invites all licensed YLs to join us in a YL activity week. This is not a contest, but a chance for Waro members and YLs from around New Zealand to get together on amateur radio and help promote women in amateur radio. We will be, however, asking contacts to be logged, as we will give the person with the most YL contacts a certificate at the end of the week. The dates are Sunday the 21st of September, to Saturday the 27th of September. The frequencies, 80 metres, 20 metres, the 2 metre repeaters, and the time is from 8 to 9 p.m. every night. We encourage all Waro members to participate and would like to encourage other licensed YLs to come up on the air for a contact too. A reminder that the Australian YLs Alara contest is taking place this weekend, and there's still time to have a few contacts before it finishes tonight at 23:59 hours local time. At the recent Hamilton Market Day, a group of YLs from the Auckland, Waikato and Bay of Plenty areas gathered for morning tea and to see Margaret ZL1MB presented with the Waro Achievement Award, the Myrtle Earland Rose Bowl. This is Waro's highest award and recognises outstanding service by a member. Waro has appointed Ruth ZL4KA Contest Manager for our Thelma Super Contest, and thanks so warmly for taking on this task. I expect we'll be hearing more from Ruth soon about next year's contest. The second issue of the bulletin from the new editors was emailed out recently, and I hope members have sent it on to their sponsored Waro members. Congratulations to Topsy and Heather for a grand effort. If members wish to discontinue sponsoring DX members, will they please let Celia Zidor 1ALK know so she can find new sponsors? Written items and photos are always welcome for inclusion in the Warra Bulletin. Send them off to TopsyZidor2LS at her email address in the executive page of the Bulletin magazine. The next issue of the Bulletin is due out in December. Today's the last day to get the discount for Warra subscriptions, but don't let that put you off from paying if you haven't already done so. That's all from Warra for this month, Jim. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Rosemary. Reporting for Warra, Rosemary Bosher, ZL1RO. Finally in tonight's official broadcast lineup, it's Branch News. Here's Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. And we start with the North Shore Branch 29 NZART, where meetings are held at 400 East Coast Road in Sunninook on the North Shore in Auckland. The next meeting is on Monday, September the 1st, where Vardy ZL1BXD will host a wine quiz. The Western Suburbs Radio Club, Branch 03, has their next meeting on Saturday the 27th of September at 10 a.m. Ian, ZL1RCA, will give a talk on aircraft wiring practices. Hutt Valley Branch 18 has its next meeting on Monday, September the 1st, starting 7:30 p.m. at the club rooms in the Philip Evans Reserve in Waterloo. The guest speaker for this month is Alan Creswell, who will be talking about the use of lightning to detect band openings. From RAGCHU, the newsletter of North Canterbury, NZART Branch 68. They have a meeting on Thursday, September the 11th, at the Wood End Youth Centre starting 7:30 p.m. Tony will show the latest episode of TX Factor, including a review of the Flex 6300 software-defined radio. And finally, Christchurch Branch 05 have their next meeting on Wednesday the 6th of September at their new club rooms at No. 5 Idris Road in Fendleton. Now, we're constantly bombarded with news of how flying drones will do so many tasks in the future. And this presentation by Calvin Barnsdale, ZL3KB, titled The Real Future of an Unmanned Aerial Vehicles, will look at the challenges ahead and what needs to be done to get public and legislative acceptance. Well, that's all from me. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Stephen. Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG, reporting from Christchurch. The next issue of NZRT Headquarters Infoline will be emailed on Friday, the 5th of September. Remember, you can subscribe for your copy of this bulletin of news from NZRT Headquarters on the NZRT webpage. That's at www.nzart.org.nz. The next official broadcast of NZRT will be made by ZL6A at 8 p.m. on Sunday, the 28th of September. This is ZL6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, concluding the NZART official broadcast for August 2014. Good night, everyone. Good night now.